Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. We bring you news from the community groups all around the Yarra Valley. And today I have with me Andrew Blair from the Yarra Valley Railways. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you, Alan. Well, pleased to be here.
Great to have you in. Now, well, I was going to say most of us know about the Yarra Valley Railways, but obviously it's a community-based organisation up in Healesville. Just tell us a little bit about it, when it came into existence and what you do.
Okay. The railway first came to Healesville in 1889, and the railway closed in 1980. Really, the main reason that the closure was that people had motor cars and were starting to use these rather than use the train. The present station was built in 1903, so it's quite a heritage station. And after the closure of the line, the group of people felt that they wanted to try and continue running trains, and there's a group there now.
As a full-time basis, or just like when they originally started the group, Andrew?
I don't know what their plans were at that stage, but they wanted to see trains running between Healesville and Lilydale. But the 2009 bushfires really put a stop to that, because eight of the bridges were burnt between Healesville and Lilydale, and so there was a change of plan, and it was decided to run it as a tourist enterprise only, and between Healesville and Yarra Glen.
So when did it actually start as the tourist attraction, Andrew?
Oh, for a while, it ran just trolleys, and they ran from Healesville.
Are these little square boxes where they pump each side?
Oh, look, that'd be fun. But no, they were motorised trolleys.
Oh.
But actually, they had up to five trolleys coupled together, and people loved them. But in the days of OH&S now, the trolleys don't get a look in. We're now running a 1948 rail motor, and it can accommodate 40 people.
It's a terrific motor, isn't it?
And that goes just, perhaps three-quarters of a kilometre beyond the trolley, about beyond the tunnel, and then back to Healesville.
And you need to mention that tunnel. It's about 100 years old, isn't it?
Well, the railway came through to Healesville in 1889, so the tunnel is, yes, well over 100 years old, as is the station, as is the water tower that we've got there, as is the goods shed. So, yeah, there's a fair bit of heritage that goes with the station.
So it's not only a fun activity to come along to, you're, as a group, you're also protecting the heritage, aren't you?
That's very, very much what we want to do. And if you have a look at the station at Healesville, then you'll see that there's quite a bit of heritage stuff there. For instance, the fence was originally, when we took over, it was a cyclone fence, and it was very much beaten up. That fence has been totally replaced by the original picket fence.
That's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got the original station the lights that were the old, would originally have been kerosene lights. And we got those made, especially from all places, from Ballarat, from Sovereign Hill. The tinsmith there made those lights.
True.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. We'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Whispering our goodbyes, waiting for the train. I was dancing with my baby in the summer rain. I can hear him saying, nothing will change. Go dance with me, baby, in the summer rain. I remember the rain on his skin and his kisses harder than the sand and the winds. Whispering our goodbyes, waiting for the train. I was dancing with my baby in the summer rain. I remember laughing till we almost cried there at the station that night.
Oh, my love, it's you that I dream of. Oh, my love,
train. I was dancing with my baby in the summer rain. I can hear him singing, ooh, love is strange. Come dance with me, baby, in the summer rain. I remember the rain pouring down, and we poured our hearts out as the train pulled out. I can see my baby waving from the train. It was the last time that I saw him in the summer rain.
You're listening to The Voice of the Valley, Yarra Valley FM 99.1, where it's 19 minutes past 12, still 25 degrees, and you're listening to Community Connections, and I have Andrew Blair with the Yarra Valley Railways. We've been talking a little bit about how Healesville came into existence and some of the work that's being done. But if you've been travelling past the Yarra Glen Station, there's been a lot of work going on at the Yarra Glen Station. So, Andrew, could you tell us a bit about that, please?
Yes, Alan, love to. after the fires, the entire yard was burnt out. A lot of the buildings were burnt out, but the main station wasn't burnt. The front of the platform, that was much of that was burnt.
Gee, it got close.
It did. Yes, the station wasn't burnt then, but subsequently there was damage as a result of arson, where people got into the building and set fire to it. But probably the biggest damage that was caused was simply by termites, and we've had to totally reframe the entire building.
True.
Nearly all the lining boards on the inside and the weatherboards on the outside, they've had to be replaced and repainted. On the outside, we had five coats of paint put on, and that paint was donated by Dulux. So that was a very generous gesture.
You were telling me that in the early days of the railways, that when it was the railways as the railways, that they also had their own paint manufacturer.
Yes, the Victorian Railways had a lot of, I suppose you might call them sub-industries. And yes, they manufactured their own paints. They mixed them all up. They had their own poultry farm for the eggs, for the refreshment rooms, and there are a lot of industries like that. I mean, railway apprentices, there was an enormous amount of training that they were able to do, which is no longer the case.
Unfortunately, when you stop manufacturing that, that's what happens too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now you tend to buy these things, and much of it, of course, comes in from overseas. And so those skills that a lot of the young people acquired as a result of being apprentices with the railways,
just doesn't happen anymore.
That's right.
So let's go back to Yarra Glen Station. It's been such a terrifically big job. How long did it take from to renovate it, or you almost renewed it, didn't you?
The estimate is that about 90% of it had been done, but it's been running for about 8 years now. So one of the very first things was to put in, set in concrete, rails that could hold back the platform to stop it collapsing onto the onto the track. And then there's been concrete infills going behind that. And then sitting on top of those concrete infills, there's been red gum timbers that have been that form the top of the platform. We still have to surface it with bitumen. That hasn't yet happened. The building has been totally rebuilt inside. The toilets, we're trying to build everything as much as we can to heritage standard, but the toilets, no, I don't think we could go for the pan toilets and the non-flush urinals that accepted nowadays.
Back in those days, that wasn't what they were they? They weren't flushes. They were just the nightman came around.
Yeah, well, the nightman went out of business when the railway closed in 1980 because Healesville Station and Yarra Glen Station no longer required his services.
So obviously there's a couple of things we need to mention. First of all, that these people that have done basically 8 years of work on that station, they're all volunteers, aren't they?
They are all volunteers.
And we need to mention that because people might think that you've just got the money to go out and pay tradesmen, but that's not true, is it? It's all been done by volunteer labour.
That work has all been done by volunteers. There was a bushfire grant that enabled some of the work to be done, but that's long since dried up. And one of the reasons is we're trying to do things to a very, very high standard. The aim is, with all of what we're doing, is to do it once so that we don't have to keep going back to have things done again.
That's a good point. Now, and also, of course, both these would be heritage listed, wouldn't it? So it's not just a case of going down to the local hardware store and buy a few metres of cladding or anything. You've got to get the stuff to really stay true to it, don't you?
The lining boards for Yarra Glen were all specially run to be the right dimension. We have a heritage architect who supervises all that we do, including the colours that we use. I mean, all of this is determined by the heritage conditions. Along the edge of the platform, we put in a picket fence. You can imagine the time it took to paint pickets.
It's not
give
a good
them five coats of paint each. But we were very fortunate. We've had numbers of volunteers come from some companies. For example, we've had people from Telstra. One of our best volunteer group has been Ford, and we had some volunteers from Ford. Interesting story that came out of this one was that one woman was looking for a job, and so I put the electric drill in her hand, and she started helping me with the fence. And as we got chatting, I told her about the fact that we're going to need some bolts to hold the gates open. She said, "Oh yes, I know where up at Emerald there's a blacksmith. He'd be able to help you with that." So I went up to Emerald, and he helped me with the bolts. But the men's shed in Yarra Glen helped me turn the bolts so that they had little round knobs on the end of them. And it's really stuff like that that's fascinating to me. But I had to use my blacksmithing skills to make these bolts for the gates to hold them open.
We sort of don't. When the job's finished, if I walked in or any of the listeners walked in, you just think you bought that stuff off the shelf. And so what should have been a five-minute job, because it's heritage listed, isn't at all, is it? It's a big job.
It took ages to make those bolts. I would have to say days. I think there were nine bolts all together that I made. But there was nothing in the shops. Nothing that would even remotely compare with what we've managed to produce.
That's fantastic, isn't it? We'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. Myself and kicked in my face, but I've come through. curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all. But it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 29 minutes to 1, 26 degrees. And the show is Community Connections. I've got with me Andrew Blair from the Yarra Valley Railways. Now, Andrew, often on a Sunday, and we'll talk about your opening hours a bit later, we see this rail motor going up and down. I'm really intrigued. I believe it's a diesel. When did you get it? How did you get it? And tell us a bit about it, please.
Okay, it's a Walker rail motor, 153 horsepower. Yes, it's a diesel motor. It was built in 1948, so that puts a fair age on it. And it came originally from the Railway Historical Society Museum in North Williamstown, Newport. And it was brought up from there by road to Healesville, and it's been used ever since. Required quite a bit of work to get it so that it was suitable for taking passengers, but carries 40 people. It's the same as was put into use on the Healesville-Lilydale Railway after steam trains stopped in 1957.
Not necessarily the same one, but just the same type, is it?
Yeah, the Victorian Railways had had three 153 horsepower, 100 and 102 horsepower. Both of those took 40 passengers, and then they could put a couple of tons of parcels and so on in the guards van of them. The 153 could pull a trailer, and the Healesville Railway had a trailer that was pulled behind the rail motor. Then they had a bigger one that could take 90 passengers. But those rail motors made a huge difference to the comfort of people travelling on country branch lines. For instance, they had heaters in them.
Now,
for the older members may remember foot warmers, but the foot warmers that used to be put in trains were pretty ineffective, and so to have a rail motor that had a heater, this was absolute luxury. If you went into the toilet, there was a stainless steel basin.
So they actually had toilets in the rail motor as well?
They were very progressive, of course, in those days because it was a unisex toilet. They couldn't afford to put two toilets in for 40 people. But
that's
true. Yeah.
So did they only run around Melbourne, or did they only do country trips, or what did these rail motors do, Andrew?
They were mainly on branch lines, and some of the bigger ones were on the main lines, but they were mainly on branch lines. And as I said before, it made a huge difference for people on country lines because prior to their introduction, people travelled in trains that were hauled by a steam locomotive, and that steam locomotive required a driver, a fireman, and then a guard at the other end of the train. And if they were travelling along the branch line, they'd stop at a station, leave the carriage in the platform, and then they'd do a bit of a shunt and then progress on their way. So the journeys were very, very slow. And so it was very costly to run steam trains compared with these diesel rail motors.
And a lot more dangerous too, weren't they?
I suppose so, yes.
I mean, there's not a lot that goes wrong with a diesel. You do hear stories of every now and again one either blowing up or something like that in the steam.
Yes, I suppose so, but I don't think too many steam trains blew up per se.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Oh, Yarra Valley FM 99.1 is the voice of the Yarra Valley and surrounding areas.
And it's also the voice of the valley, where the time is 18 minutes to 1 o'clock and 26 degrees. And I have with me Andrew Blair from the Yarra Valley Railways. Andrew, you were saying that the good sheds and at Healesville and also the water tank. Oh, just before I go on, I should mention this too. I've been asked to mention that Crank Up, which is was to be on this Saturday and Sunday down at Yarra Junction, it has been cancelled due to the virus. They've erred on the side of reality and decided that it's cancelled. So please take note, Crank Up isn't on this Sunday. Andrew, you were talking about the goods shed and the water tower. They've all been renovated?
Yes, the whole Healesville station is, it's well over 100 years old. And in some of the very early photographs that we've got of the station, you can see the goods shed. You can also see the water tower or the water tank. It's a big tank, 20,000 gallons, using the old types of measure, and it provided water for the steam locomotives. It has been, we got a government grant of $200,000 to the restore that, and also the water crane that used to swing over the tenders of the locomotives to drop the water in. So we've removed the rust and then given rust-proof paint and then a lovely two-pack enamel over the top of that, and the whole thing has been restored. And if you're driving past along River Street in Healesville, it looks spectacular. So there's that and the water crane. A good shed, which larger items, not parcels, but larger items, were brought in by train. They were put in the goods shed, and then local carriers would pick them up from the far side of the goods shed. The goods shed was, the foundations anyway, were falling down. So a crane came in, lifted the whole shed to one side, then put down new concrete to foundations.
Picked it up off its foundations.
Yeah, a huge steel frame was made underneath it, and then cranes lifted it to one side. New concrete foundations were put down to go underneath it, and then the goods shed was put back. Some of the iron around the base of the goods shed was so knocked about by the parcels and so on that were in the shed over the period of 100 years, they had to be replaced, but the whole thing. That was restored by Victrac, because Victrac are the owner of that and the station, that was a big restoration job, but that looks really good now.
But that must have been a massive job to have lifted it off its foundations and then redone the foundations and put it down again.
It was. it took weeks and weeks to actually make a steel frame that they could put underneath it to lift it up and then take it to one side. And then when it was put back again, that steel frame was all pulled to bits and taken away.
Fantastic job. All done by volunteers.
No. That one.
Oh, was it?
That one was done by by contractors for Victrac.
Oh, that's fair enough. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress trashy till you spend a lot of money. Everybody's talking about the new sound. Funny, but it's still rock and roll to me. What's the matter with the car I'm driving? Can't you tell that it's out of style? Should I get a set of white wall tires? Are you gonna cruise the Miracle Mile? Nowadays you can't be too sentimental. Your best bet's a true baby blue continental. Hot funk, cool punk, even if it's old junk, it's still rock and roll to me. Oh, it doesn't matter what they say in the papers, cause it's always been the same old scene. There's a new band in town, but you can't get the sound from a story in a magazine. Hey, that's your average. How about a pair of pink sidewinders and a bright orange pair of pants?
Well, you could really be a Bull Brummel, baby, if you just give it half a chance. Don't waste your money on a new set of speakers. You get more mileage from a cheap pair of sneakers. Licks face, new wave, dance great. Anyways, you still rock and roll to me. Don't you know that they're out of touch? Well, should I try to be a straight A student? If you are, then you think too much. Don't you know about the new fashion, honey? All you need are looks and a whole lot of money. It's the next phase, new wave, dance craze. Anyways, it's still rock and roll to me. Everybody's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 9 minutes to one and 26 degrees. And I have with me Andrew Blair from the Yarra Valley Railways. Andrew, there's a couple of things we just need to do cover is when you're open, because apart from it being an asset, people can come along and ride on your motor. So when are you open?
The rail motor runs on the hour. First train at 10 a.m, last train 4 p.m. on Sundays, on Wednesdays of school holidays, and public holidays.
And that's coming up soon, the school holidays, isn't it?
That's correct. Yep.
Now, also, people, you can go along every Sunday, and you can have a ride on the motor. But it's not only that. There's park around it. You can take sandwiches up and have a lunch and really have a terrific day up there. It's a great place to be. You can see the heritage station and you can take a ride on the rail motor. But you were saying, Andrew, without the workshop, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen. And they're all volunteers, aren't they?
The workshop operates Thursday late afternoon and evening, and then it operates on Saturday. And yes, everybody there is a volunteer. And of course, they are the people who look after the rail motor and the restoration of the carriages, mechanical equipment, and we've got generators and all those sort of things that need to be maintained, and they look after all of that.
Yeah, it's terrific to have those volunteers. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Started floating round in past.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 5 minutes to one and 26 degrees. And we'll have the news and weather, of course, at 1 o'clock. And I've got Andrew Blair with the Yarra Valley Railways with me. Andrew, you've got us excited. Tell us how we can find out a bit more about the Yarra Valley Railways, please.
Well, the Yarra Valley Railway, like most progressive organisations, which we are, has a website. Yep. And if you just simply put into Google Yarra Valley Railway, you'll get the details there. So Yarra Valley Railway on the website's the way to go there. If you once you get in there, you'll find that there's things like timetable, there's blogs, there's Facebook, and all the sort of things that people like to investigate, the photographs, and all of that sort of information.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Do we have a Facebook page? Alan, what a stupid question. Of course, well, we have a Facebook page.
Do we know what that is? Just Yarra
Valley? No, I don't. get into the website and you'll find it there.
All right, well,
we've got lots of volunteers doing all sorts of jobs. Harold Clapp, the railway commissioner from years ago, said railways are 90% men or people and 10% equipment, and it applies the same with the Yarra Valley Railway. It's very, very much a volunteer organisation.
And the only difference is that your people don't get paid.
Volunteers don't get paid. You're spot on, Alan.
And it's one of the largest volunteer organisations, you were telling me?
The largest volunteer infrastructure project in Australia.
Gee, that's
terrific. Just huge.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, just quickly, because we're starting to run out of time, in preparation to get the rail motor to go from Healesville to Yarra Glen, you were saying you've had to rebuild 12 bridges.
A lot of bridges were lost during the bushfires between Healesville and Lilydale. We lost three between Yarra Glen and Healesville. And of the 12 bridges that you mentioned just then, many of them were so rotten that there's no way we could possibly use them. They were timber bridges, and so they have all been replaced with concrete and steel structures so that they will be termite resistant and they will be fire resistant. So we won't have to go back and look after them again in the near future.
Of course, the other thing too, that the weight of this rail motor, I mean, what would that weigh? I mean, you couldn't put that over a bridge that wasn't very substantial.
Alan, the rail motors were very light.
Are they?
That particular one, yeah, probably 20 tonnes or so. But if you look at some of the steam locomotives, such as a big R-class locomotive, 186 tonnes.
186 tonnes for steam.
And these bridges would handle that. They've been designed to handle an R-class locomotive at 80 kilometres an hour. So that's indicates some of the engineering that's had to go on before we could rebuild this railway.
And we've just bounced over that pretty quickly. So we're talking about well over 100 tonne is going over those bridges, and they were designed when? I mean, the engineering on those must have been phenomenal, because, I mean, the knowledge that we know now compared to what was known then.
The original bridges, of course, were timber trestle bridges, but the locomotives even then were well over 100 tonnes, and those bridges would have carried them quite comfortably. But now, with our better engineering and so on, and the bridges had to be carefully engineered, they'll handle the sort of loads that are likely to go over them.
Gee, the knowledge or the engineering knowledge back in the steam era must have been phenomenal. I mean, you can do all sorts of tests in that now, you know, and with computerisation and that. But back in those days, it must have been a phenomenal trick.
The Victorian Railways had an engineering branch, mechanical and civil engineering branch, and they had managers in charge of those. And they had huge drafting offices in the Spencer Street buildings that used to look after that aspect of them.
Andrew, unfortunately, my time's come up. I've got to go to the news. Thank you very much for coming today and telling us all about our real Yarra Valley Railways. It's been fantastic. I can only encourage people on a Sunday to take a trip up to Hillsville and take a trip on the rail motor, or if not, just go to have a look around and they can make a day of it, take a picnic or whatever they like.
Well, we love to see people and we love to tell them what we're doing, because a lot of people find that a real interest.
Thanks very much for coming in, Andrew.